Well, I'm down on the floor tonight, all right? So I can get down and see you all eyeball to eyeball. Somebody, just recently I was talking to somebody and they said the reason people don't sit up front is because they're afraid the preacher will spit on them. So I don't intend to do that this evening, but Brother Ziegler's probably right. You all are probably wondering, what in the world is this preacher going to do tonight? Well, you just hang around for a little while. We'll find out. Stand with me if you would. It's good to have a couple of my sheep here tonight. And yeah, they wandered over this way, and I told them, I said, man, y'all gluttons for punishment. I didn't use those words, but I guess they are. So anyway, turn around, shake somebody's hand, and tell them you're glad they're here, and smile at them, because when you smile, it'll increase the value of our faces and the congregation as a whole, all right? Remain standing. Psalms 139 this evening, if you would. 139, very familiar portion of scripture. I'd like to pick up reading in verse number 14. I have a friend named Stephen Height. Probably some of you would know him from FEA days, or EFM days, pardon me. And he was talking about how that overseas, when he was on the mission field, that, you know, he would announce his scripture, and pretty soon he'd begin to hear, amen, 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 you know, all the way through the congregation. And then he explained why, because he said as they found the scripture, they would say amen. So has anybody found the scripture tonight? Amen. All right, good. Psalms 139, we'll begin reading in verse number 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Ask my wife if she would to pray for the message, please. I don't know if you've ever contemplated this portion of scripture before. Maybe I'm sure you've read it, or probably our school kids have learned to memorize it and quoted it and so forth. It's quite a familiar one in many instances. But have you ever considered the import of what this scripture has to talk about? Do you know that God made every single one of us? He fashioned us. Now, I want you to think about that. I don't know how many people we have here tonight, 100, 125 maybe. And that's just a small portion of the world, several billion people. And you get to thinking that God, in all of his great power, has actually formed every one of those beings. That's pretty awesome. Now, I guess recently something that has amazed me is all the rockets that are going off that Elon Musk is shooting off and SpaceX is involved with, and all the things that are going on. Whether that amazes you or not, it amazes me. And I think about all those things and some of the power involved with that. But then to think that God has formed every single man, woman, boy, and girl on this earth. He knew all of your members. He knew what you were going to be like. And he made you even before you were formed in the womb, the Bible says. And then it says he thinks about you. Has anybody here got any idea how many grains of sand there are on the seashore? I don't even have a clue. I guess probably it would be, well, I probably, if I said 1 trillion, that probably wouldn't even touch it when you begin to think about it. I mean, a trillion is a huge number. But I would say if you begin to count the sea on the seashore, it's way up in the trillions. And maybe, I don't know what the next number is after that. Is it quadrillion, I think? And then you can move up to, you know, gazillion, all right? I don't know. But did you think and realize, I believe God's word, do you? It says his thoughts toward you are more in number than even the sand of the sea. That's an awesome thought. There's a song, I'm not sure, it's in the praise and worship, but we've had so many graduations, you know, we went to worship and song, and now we're to sing to the Lord and so forth, and I guess I've always been partial to the praise and worship, but there's a song in there that says, "Thou thinkest, Lord, of me." Wow. There's a songwriter that wrote a song, and I like the song. It says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And that's not just me. It was you. So this evening, for a little while, I want to use that as a scripture, and I've got kind of an object lesson of sorts that I want to talk to you about this evening. And I hope my son has been keeping track. He said, I did better last night. And I'm hoping I can do even better tonight, all right? Maybe we'll just get shorter and shorter and shorter until Sunday night comes and I won't preach at all. I'm just teasing, but then maybe God has that. I don't know. But so I want to talk to you this evening about some things. And first off, I have in my hand a denomination of money. Young man, what do I have in my hand? Do you know what that is? A $2 bill. Would you like to have that $2 bill? Would you like for me to give that to you? Anybody here like to have this $2 bill? Let me see your hand. You'd like to have it. You said you collect them, brother. They have a few. Put your hands up again. How many of you would like to have this $2 bill? Right here. Why in the world would you want one of these $2 bills? Why would you want this? You don't have very much money. Who's this kid's parents? Would you give him some money, please? I understand the feeling, Doc. I don't either. So, would you say that this has got some value to it? It's got it would give you some money to spend, right? You might be able to go, now not to a gas station, but maybe to Walmart, you could buy a king-size candy bar with this. Can't even buy a double cheeseburger at McDonald's anymore with it. But there's a few things. So the reason you would want this tonight is because it has some value, correct? All right? Even if it doesn't buy very much. You could get a large drink at McDonald's with it. And maybe a regular size candy bar. I can still remember. I'm getting old. Probably Brother Gibson's got me beat by a year or two. And Dr. Matlock maybe a year older than I am. But in fact, he probably remembers me when I was just a really little dude, you know. But I used to be little. I did. My mom had to buy slim pants and take them up in order for them to fit me. Not the case anymore. So back to this $2 bill. I can remember when gas was $26.9 a gallon. Anybody else remember it was that cheap or cheaper? Yeah. We lived in Florida. Glad I don't live there now, thank God. But anyway, you could buy a lot of things, but $2 will still get you something tonight. It has value. Now, why would you want this $2 bill? Because really, if I ask you this evening outside of Brother Ziegler, how many of you had a $2 bill in your billfold? Probably. Now, there's a slight chance that somebody does. But probably in all likelihood, very few, if any of you, would have a $2 bill in your billfold. So really, this bill is kind of odd. I know it's an even number, but it's a little odd. You don't often find these. I mean, when I go to the store and get change, even if it's a 5 or a 10 or a 20, I don't know. I'm trying to remember, Brother Warren, if I've ever had it, maybe once, I've had somebody give me a $2 bill and change. It's an odd bill. In fact, you have to ask for them specifically when you go to the bank. Okay? Now, I had one in my billfold. I'm one of them odd people. But I wanted a nice one. So I went to the bank today. And I called them before I went just to make sure they'd have some. Yeah, we do. We do. So I got this $2 bill. It's kind of odd. Even though it's a little odd, it's different than a dollar bill, different than a 5. How many of you would still like to have this $2 bill? Can I see your hands? A lot of you. Why? Young man, and I can call you young because I'm probably older than you are. Why would you want this $2 bill? It's odd. It's different. Why would you want it? It'll still buy $2 worth of stuff, won't it? Even if it is odd. Do you know this evening that every one of you has value? Bar none. But do you know this evening some of you are a little odd? Now, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or hold your hand up, all right? Aren't you glad? Because if I did, I'm already standing. And I'd have to put my hand up too. You know, I'm a little odd now. I don't know if I should tell you this or not, because you might kind of say, ooh, the preacher. But I like jelly on my biscuits and then put my gravy on top of it. Yuck, I know. At least I don't put ketchup on my ice cream. If you do, it's all right, okay? That's a Shockley thing. Break open your biscuit, put the jelly on it, and I happen to like seedless black raspberry or seedless blackberry best, you know, put it on there and then put your sausage gravy all over the top of that. I don't know, it's quite a combination. You say it's gross, you ought to try it sometime. It's pretty good. You may think you're a little odd tonight. In fact, other people may think you're a little odd. Now, I have a good friend, and I'm not going to tell you his name. Some of you will know who it is because you're a good friend to him too. But that good friend of mine has one foot that is much smaller than the other foot. And in so much so, he has to buy two pairs of shoes in order to be able to have shoes. Costs him twice as much to get new shoes because he has two sizes. On one side is one, and the other is the other. Now, I love this dude. I love him a lot. We're good friends. I'm not making fun of him at all, but that's happened to be the way that God made him. But that's a little different. If I ask how many of you have two different sizes of feet, probably nobody in this church would raise your hand. He's a little odd. He really is. If I told you his name, you could go tell him I said so. I'm just picking on him. I love him. Maybe this evening, though, it isn't the size of your feet. There may be things in your life, and I don't know what it is. Maybe your nose sticks out really far. Somebody's poking somebody right now. Did you know that none of our ears are exactly the same? Maybe you got weird ears. Really, honestly, neither of our ears are exactly the same from what I understand. You know, I don't know what to tell you. Some people walk funny. Some people's hair is they've got cowlicks all over it, brother, you know, and for a long time, I'd go to the barber. My wife had complained because I'd come back. She said, honey, what's wrong with your hair? Finally, we found out I had a cowlick back there or something, you know, it causes a little bit of trouble. Now, don't go looking my hair over to find it, all right? But you understand what I mean this evening, and I don't know what your oddity is. But it doesn't matter to God. Because you're still valuable. Just like this odd $2 bill. You're important to God. His thoughts are still on you. You're valuable to him because he formed you and he made you. And so we know that it has value. We know that even if it's odd, it still has value. And even if you're odd this evening, you know, I want to stop. I just feel like I need to come back to that. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. But early, after Brother Ziegler called me and God began to talk to me about what I needed to preach, I felt like I needed to preach this message tonight. You say, people think I'm odd. I'm eccentric. My personality's different. Maybe I talk funny. Maybe you don't talk at all. Over here and hide beneath the pew because I don't want to see anybody. They're weird. They're odd. I don't know who you are this evening. I just want you to know that God still thinks you're valuable. And you are because God says so. Secondly, this evening, not only does God think you're valuable, even if you're a little odd, I just crushed this crisp $2 bill. Anybody still want this $2 bill? Hands all over the congregation. Why do you want this $2 bill? That young man on the back seat, you still want this $2 bill? Why do you want it? Still money, isn't it? That's right, you can still take it to Walmart. You say, but it's crushed, Brother Shockley. You've wadded it up and it's in a little ball now. What in the world? You know, this evening, some of you probably feel like you're crushed. Maybe you're pretty much at the end of yourself emotionally. You've been through the ringer. Now, some of you will know what I'm talking about, and some of you won't understand that term. How many of you will tell us your age and say you remember what the ringer was? Yeah, Sister Gibson and Brother Gibson remember. That doesn't mean they're old. It just means they're seniors. I've never had to use it. My wife's never had to use it. But if you remember, they used to have an old wringer washer, and Buddy, they'd run that as clothes, and they had two rollers, and they were tight together. And Buddy, they'd run, if I'm, sister gets one, all right, they'd take them clothes and roll it through the wringers, you know, in order to squash all of the water out of it and try to get it as dry as they could before they hung it out on the clothesline. Maybe this evening you feel like you've been through the wringer. Emotionally. Now let me just talk to you. This isn't funny business. It really isn't. But maybe your boyfriend or your girlfriend just broke up with you. That's pretty emotional for young people. I've been on both ends of that. On the bad end and the good end. And I don't know that either one of them's good. In fact, I shouldn't tell you this, but my wife and I broke up several times before we ever decided to get married. She just wasn't sure she wanted to put up with me. Now she wished she hadn't. No, I'm just teasing. It could be a lot of things in your life. I don't know all the things that I could talk to you about. I think the Holy Spirit can help you to understand tonight in your own personal life and what you're dealing with as to what has emotionally affected you. Maybe it's because you've been ignored or unnoticed. Maybe you wish you had a boyfriend and you don't have a boyfriend. Maybe you wish you had a girlfriend and you don't have a girlfriend. And I'm not just honing in on that because there's a lot of things that are even deeper and more hurtful. I think I told you the other night, I'm not sure, about the young boy that I went to school with. We called him a ton. His name was Anton. I called him a ton. I can't imagine how that boy felt when he went home from school. I can't. I wish there was some way, even yet today, that I could find out who he was. I'd either write him a letter or call him or go see him and tell him, I am so sorry. Maybe you've been talked about or talked against. She's weird. He's way out in left field. Man, they're ugly. If I was to ask for a show of hands this evening, I don't want you to, but I would say that probably every single one of us would have to say our hands, there's been times in our life that we felt just like that $2 bill feels if it could have feelings. Crushed. Hurt. Rejected. I can remember as a boy growing up, not to tout my own abilities, but was very seldom ever the last one picked when it came to ball. Now I would be today. But the heartache of that person that finally you get down to the end of the line and they say, well, you take one and I'll take the other. Because they aren't that good. They aren't real coordinated. And the hurt. It's like crushing them. Y'all get over it. Keep us. I'm going to tell you something. It's tough to have to endure some things in your life. And I'm not even touching the surface. I could tell you some things this evening in my own life that has done just that to me. I've been in a preacher's home. I was the PK. I lived in a glass house. And if I wasn't perfect, and I wasn't, Mom and Dad heard about it. Dear old Brother Smart, I shouldn't tell this, but I'm going to. Marshall Smart and I were good friends. He's known me for, and he doesn't anymore. He knows he's in heaven now, but anyway, I was just a little guy. Mom and Dad were good friends with him. In fact, Sister Smart gave me piano lessons at one point in time. And after I would go and go to revival where he was at and so forth, he'd see me and he'd say, "That Shockley boy back there," he said that. He said, "I remember him when he's a little boy." He said, he was just, his mom would hold him in her arms and said he was just a little tot. Said, and he'd look over her shoulder at the people behind him in church and he'd just stick his tongue out at him. I thought, oh my, Brother Smart, can't you think of something better to say? I don't know if I said that. I just accepted it from him. But do you understand that when people remember you that way? I just had to sing to him, "Oh, what change grace hath wrought in my lowly station." But I just sucked my tongue out at you, so I guess not much change has happened. So anyway, I don't know this evening what you've gone through, but I just want you to know this evening, God still loves you, and you are still valuable to God. There's sometimes I haven't even felt like I could pray. Say, "You, Brother Shockley?" Absolutely. I'm so glad that tears are a language God can understand. But I'm still valuable to him, and so are you. So you still want this $2 bill. Who still wants it? Kind of wrinkled. Kind of a mess. Well, you say, "Brother Shockley, can it get any worse than that?" It can. I hope these will fit my hands. We'll have to see. My hands tend to be sweaty. And of course, they came from John Ziegler, and he may have booby-trapped them. I see that hand. Why are you putting on gloves? Now, after a minute, you'll understand. All right, I think that'll work. Tell people you know of a blue-handed preacher. What's that look like to you, Doc? What do you think? What do you think it looks like? Sean, your first thoughts? Mud? How about you? Is that what you think it looks like? Yeah. That's what mud is, dirt and water. You all see that halfway? This comes from the barnyard. honest. I don't know what's in this mud. I know what could be in this mud. In fact, I have a man in my church that the Babcock boys back there would know, and probably some of you would know Marcus Martin. He keeps cows, and I think she's got a donkey and maybe some chickens. I told him, I said, I need a sample from your barnyard. I know in Marcus, he probably fixed me up really well. There's probably stuff in here, Brother Ziegler. I don't want, that's why my wife said I ought to do this. Because we're having hot dogs later, right? Perfectly good $2 bill. How many of you still want it? Right now? No. You want this for your collection, Brother Ziegler? So here we are. Now it's defiled. Did you catch that? It's defiled. That may very well have the stuff you don't want on it. It's been through the mud. I don't know who cleans the church here. I'm trying to be careful. I don't want to get this on your carpet. It's defiled. How many of you still want that $2 bill? Can I see your hands? Hold them up high. There's still a lot of you still want that $2 bill. Maybe tonight. I hope not. But it may be that some of you have gotten involved in drugs. Hopefully none of you have. But I just want you to know that just because I have found out that even as I've worked with young people over the years, that even if they're church kids, sometimes the devil has got them down in the dirt and rolled them around in the mud of the world. Maybe that you've gotten involved in drinking. And I'm going to be very careful, but I have to say it this evening. Maybe God knows this evening that you've gotten involved in pornography. I've heard some statistics. And it breaks my heart that even a high percentage of our church kids have had exposure to, and some have become actively involved with pornography. See, Brother Shockley, not us. It might surprise you, that's why I'm preaching this way. The devil will tell you, you're ruined now. Look at what you've been involved in. You're defiled. It could be, and I'm going to be really careful, but I'm going to be honest with you this evening. You may have lost your purity. Young lady or young man. And that breaks my heart even more. He said, Brother Shockley, why are you preaching this way? Because the devil is a mean taskmaster. And if he can get you down in the dirt and in the mud of this world until he has defiled you and convinced you that there is no use, you're no worth anything anymore, you might as well just throw up your hands. And you know, some of them will even just go out and take their own lives because they're convinced that there's no use. How many of you would still like to have that defiled $2 bill? Can I see your hands? So does God. You say, I've known better. I've gotten involved in things that I never dreamed of, Brother Shockley. I understand that. But God still loves you this evening. You're still valuable. That's still worth $2. Even though it's defiled. I want to come to the last point this evening. You say, Brother Shockley, how could it get any worse? I just tore it in two. It's torn apart. Anybody here still want that torn apart $2 bill? Your dreams, your plans, your ambitions, all the things you had hoped for, lay torn apart and shattered at your feet. And the devil now says, there isn't any way in the world God's going to put that back together again. You're destroyed. It's over. God says no. He says, you're still worth something to me. The old devil would like to say you're on the trash heap, no hope, nothing you can do. I told you earlier in the meeting I was a banker at one point in time. This is a fact. If you would take that $2 bill, crushed, defiled, and torn apart, take it into your local bank. Do you know what they'll do for you? They'll take it from you and give you a brand new $2 bill. And tonight, our Heavenly Father says, doesn't matter if you're odd, Doesn't matter if you're crushed. Doesn't matter if you're defiled. It doesn't matter if you're torn apart and shattered. You are still worth something to me. And if you'll come to me, if you'll let me have my way in your heart and in your life, I'll give you a brand new life. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You say, Brother Shockley, are you serious? Yes. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He loves you tonight. Zephaniah said he'll rejoice over thee with joy. He'll joy over you with singing. Can you imagine that God would joy over me? Yes, sir. He wants you to come to him tonight and give him your heart and let him have his way. And I will tell you, the Bible says if you'll do that, that there'll be more joy in heaven over with the angels singing and praising God. Because he loves you. He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. You said, even plan B, Brother Shockley, even plan B. He said, I know the thoughts that I have for you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Because God wants to work in your life, even in the midst of broken, defiled, crushed, and awed. He wants you to give yourself to him. Because he made you, and he knows your value. I'm coming to a close with this illustration this evening. There was an American. It was a tourist that had been in Paris. They'd been in some little trinket shop and they had, pardon me, purchased a little inexpensive amber necklace. I know, we're not jewelry people. But listen to the illustration. They bought that necklace. When they went through customs in New York, they had to pay an unbelievable amount of duty on that trinket necklace. They couldn't understand it. They didn't pay much for this. It's an inexpensive necklace. It's not worth much. So they took it to a jeweler. And he examined that necklace carefully. Finally, he said, here's why this is so expensive and so worth so much. He said, I want you to look through this glass. Tourists looked through the glass of the jeweler. And underneath the glass and before his eyes on that little amber necklace was this inscription from Napoleon Bonaparte to Josephine. The value of the necklace came from its identification with a famous person. And this evening, your value comes in your identity with Christ. You may have come tonight heartbroken. You may come tonight, maybe you're odd. Maybe you've come tonight and you're defiled. You say, Brother Shockley, do you think less of me for it? No, because I know that can be fixed. I don't want you to be that way. But you want to stay that way. And maybe you're broken tonight. Your dreams, your plans, your ambitions. And this doesn't just mean young people. I'm talking to adults this evening that can identify with what I'm preaching about. I just want you to know that if you'll come to Him, He'll take all your brokenness, all your problems, all your needs, and give you a new life. Why did He go to Calvary? Why was His life's blood shed for me? Why did He suffer like no man has ever done? There's just one reason. I am the one He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. Oh yes, He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. When I'm sad, He loves me. Even if I'm bad, He still loves me. And when it seems no one cares for me, I go to Jesus. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. Oh yes, He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. Now I want you to listen to this because it's true. He loves you. He loves you. Jesus loves you. Oh yes, He loves you. He loves. With me this evening with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Surely some night, somehow this evening, there's somebody here that's been crushed and you need to pray about that. Maybe somebody that's been odd and you've suffered because of that. Would you step out of your seat and come talk to Jesus tonight? Maybe this evening somebody's here that's been defiled. Maybe this evening somebody's here and your life's been broken, torn apart and shattered. and you think there's no use, no hope, I preach to you tonight because that's what God is here for. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captive free. He came to bind up the wounded. So I'm just asking you this evening, would you just step out of your seat and come talk to him tonight? Because he wants to help you. He loves you tonight. He loves you. And if somebody will take the first step, I believe there'll be more that'll follow. Would you come this evening and pray about it before you go home and let God have his way? Maybe it's adults this evening. I'm asking you, would you come this evening? The altar is open. Would you step out of your seat and come talk to Jesus about it this evening? Because he loves you. God, he cares. Rejected, hurt, got involved in some things you shouldn't have got involved in. Maybe your life seems shattered and hopeless tonight. He loves you tonight. I'm not going to hold you long. I know you're going to have some activities, but I'd rather you just step out and let us pray with you tonight. You say, I'm embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. It doesn't matter. You could be in any of those categories tonight, just recognizing you need Jesus. Don't leave here without talking to him. Would you step out of your seat, please, and come pray this evening before we leave? He loves you. Why did he go to Calvary? To fix your problems, to fix your needs, to give you a new life and a new hope. If somebody will take the first step, others will follow, but I can't hold you forever. I'm going to have my wife to play the piano, play the verse and the chorus again. If somebody comes, I'll have her play the chorus again. If nobody comes, I'm going to dismiss you and let you go home. You'll close this altar service when I really believe this evening the Holy Spirit is wooing your heart, asking you to come because Jesus really does love you. Coming to the chorus. Anybody this evening going to step out? Are you coming? Anybody? He loves you this evening. Appreciate your attention. Trust that God will work and move after the service. Brother Ziegler, I'm going to turn it over to you, brother.